Welcome to Ahead of the Curve, the Scoliosis Experience podcast, where my aim is to empower individuals with scoliosis and movement professionals alike by providing free, up-to-date information on scoliosis management and treatment. My goal is to improve the quality of life for those with scoliosis and equip movement professionals with the knowledge and skills needed to effectively support them. Hi, welcome back to Ahead of the Curve. I'm your host, Dr. Megan Teed. Today, I'm going to be talking about scoliosis and getting quality sleep. I'm going to be talking about what qualifies as quality sleep, how do you get it, and then I'm going to dive a little bit deeper into why you might be getting pain that you're getting in the mornings and how to adapt for some of those pains that you're experiencing. So I am very, very grateful that I'm able to get really good sleep at night. That's not ever been something that I've struggled with. And my husband, he actually suffers from a sleep disorder called idiopathic hypersomnia. And I just feel like hardly anybody knows what that condition is. And you know, being married to somebody who suffers with that condition, I'm really passionate about there being a solution to this problem and a resolution that he can help, that can help him get better sleep, and a little bit about that condition, and then I'll jump into our topic. But basically, it's a form of narcolepsy where you, instead of just falling asleep like narcolepsy all throughout the day, he will be able to sleep for 8-10 hours. But when he tries to wake up, he experiences something called sleep paralysis. Where he'll like wake up and his eyes are open, but he's not able to move his arms or his legs or his body. Excuse me. He also feels like he has, drank a bottle of NyQuil when he's already slept a full 8 to 10 hours. NPR actually did a special about it a few weeks ago where they talked about it, and the title of the special was "The Woman Who Can Never Get Enough Sleep." And it's honestly exactly how it is. So anyway, I wanted to just mention that because I am talking about the topic of sleep. And if you are somebody who is able to sleep well and you hear about a condition like that, it really makes you feel grateful and blessed that you're able to get restorative sleep, because it's super important for your overall well-being and your health. So a little bit about today's topic. What actually helps you get good sleep? And this is just good sleep in general. So a few tips. First tip is making sure that you're not looking at any screens, your phone, Netflix, your tablet. You know, I like to read before I go to bed, and for the past I think it was only 1 month, I read this book really fast, but for the past month, I have been reading a book on my phone, and it was a kind of a double whammy. The book was really, really good, and I didn't want to go to sleep because I wanted to keep reading my book. And then also having that blue light shining in my eyes right before bed just kind of kept me awake longer than I normally would if I were reading a paperback book or a physical book. Sorry about that. I am suffering from allergies, so I may cough or sneeze. I'm going to try to make sure we get that edited out, but I'm struggling a little bit today with that. So bear with me. But you don't want to be looking at phones or screens and at least in 1 hour prior to going to sleep. You also want to make sure that your room is super dark and there's not light creeping in from either the blinds, the windows, your alarm clock, even lights that are coming from your printer or other electronics you might have in your room. You want to make sure that your room is completely dark. Room temperature, the ideal room temperature for sleep is 67 degrees. And my husband and I fight over this. Well, we don't fight, but we discuss the ideal room temperature. And I'm always very, very hot when I'm trying to sleep. And I would prefer the room way colder. And he's always freezing. So we have to come to like this happy median, which is like 70 degrees, but that's actually pretty hot for me. Reading and meditating before you go to bed is also super helpful. Using a device that creates some white noise can also be very helpful for quality sleep. The fan, a sound machine. I actually have one of those Hatch alarm clocks. I'm such a sucker for marketing and advertising on Instagram. And it's this little alarm clock that actually turns colors and it emulates or simulates a sunrise and a sunset. And then it'll have like a white noise sound either to wake you up or put you to sleep. I highly recommend it. I love it. It's been a good investment. Now, what helps with comfort while sleeping with scoliosis? So that's a completely different ballgame that we're talking about. A couple of things that help me and that have helped my clients that I work with. Doing some elongation before bed. I recommend doing elongation first thing in the morning and then last thing in the day before you make your way to bed. That's just a nice little reset. Takes out any rotational energies that have built up in your body before you go to bed. And it can feel just really nice. The other like scoliosis specific recommendation before bed is doing 360 degree breathing before bed. This is a nice way to unwind as well. Doing that deep breathing in addition to another form of a reset. So the 360 degree breathing involves inflating your rib cage and your trunk as much as possible. If you were to visualize a partially deflated ball, exercise ball, and how it has those little dents throughout it, that's the idea behind using the 360 degree breathing. It's basically helping to push out the collapsed areas of your trunk, like your hollow spaces, your concavities. And what better way to go to sleep than to do something like that that's really beneficial for you before bed. Next is finding the right sleep position. So it's most important, it's top priority that you are getting enough sleep, you're getting restorative sleep through the night. So with the information I'm about to tell you, some people will take this to the extreme and obsess about it. So I sometimes hesitate even sharing some of this, some of these recommendations, just because I don't want you to have trouble falling asleep because you're worried about being in the right position for your curve. So if there's a particular position that you love sleeping in, you have not had any issue with it, you get quality sleep, you don't have pain when you wake up, please just keep doing what you've been doing, okay? don't alter things and begin stressing that you're doing the wrong thing for your spine.
I'm excited to share something special with you. Mark your calendars for May 11th, 2024 at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, because I'm hosting a free Scoliosis Basics Masterclass. Whether you're tuning in from the comfort of your home or from your favorite outdoor spot, all you need is an internet connection and a little room to move. In this masterclass, you'll discover simple yet powerful techniques to tackle back pain and feel more comfortable in your body every day. Reserve your spot by clicking the link in the show notes. Don't miss out on this opportunity to learn and grow. Sign up today, and I can't wait to see you there.
So the sleep position that is not the greatest for scoliosis or for any spinal conditions is sleeping lying on your stomach. And the reason for that is gravity is pulling you further and further and further into either your lordosis, so the extension of the spine, or your concavity, which is your hollow space. And that can tend to create some pain and discomfort for you upon waking up. The other thing is you have to, in order to breathe, you have to fully turn your head to the side, and you're laying in that fully rotated position for however many hours. That can tend to create some head and neck issues that can cause you to wake up with a headache. And I'm going to talk about a couple other reasons you may wake up with a headache in a few moments. Okay, so now for some recommendations on sleep positions based off of your curve type. And I'm going to talk about the main curve that most people have, and that is a right thoracic. So that's a right middle back curve, and then a left lumbar curve. So that's a left lower back curve. So the ideal sleep position for somebody with that curve type, if your primary curve, your largest curve, is located on your right side, it is ideal for you to lay on your left side. Okay, so I'm going to use this cord as a demonstration. And here we have the curve. So we have this S curve here, and the biggest curve is here on that right-hand side. So when I go and I lay on my left-hand side, that curve is facing the ceiling. And excuse me, over the course of the night, gravity is helping that curve to fall further and further closer to a midline position. Okay, so if you're somebody that who has two same size curves, you can sleep on either side, and you can sleep on either side anyway. But it can be beneficial for you to sleep on either side. If you really don't move hardly at all throughout the night, you can also use some props or wedges. So like hand towels you can roll up, or a really small pillow. And you can put that under your second curve, your convexity. So you have your hollow side, and then you have your convex side, and you can put some wedges under the convex side, and then just let the concave side do its thing and just fall to neutral. Same thing as when you're lying on your back. Lying on your back is the second best option. So you can use some wedges or hand towels or something when you're lying on your back, and just put those on your convex sides if you have multiple curves. You can also put a pillow under your knees. And then if you don't want to fuss with any of that, you can just use pillows to just kind of give yourself some extra support, like you're giving yourself a hug. Just kind of tucking those pillows all in around you. You can use a body pillow. That can be really helpful if you're kind of that side, almost stomach sleeper. The body pillows can be really, really helpful. And now, finally, I just want to talk about why you might be waking up with a headache or some back pain when you wake up. Headaches tend, especially upon waking up, they tend to come from tension or poor breathing. The majority of the population are mouth breathers, and especially when we're sleeping at night, that mouth breathing becomes more noticeable because you're just totally relaxed and that mouth drops open. So if you're somebody who wakes up with headaches pretty frequently in the mornings, this might be something worth looking at and seeing, either like asking your partner if they notice that you are mouth breathing or if you're snoring. You can even just like set a little tape recorder and tape yourself at night and see. And then if you really want to get specific, you can go get a sleep study done. So mouth taping is something that is a good option if you are somebody that is a mouth breather who wakes up with headaches in the morning. And people kind of freak out about this or their eyes get wide when I say mouth taping. And it doesn't have to be a really big piece of tape that goes over your mouth. It can just be a little sliver, teeny tiny, that goes in between the two lips. And then additionally, if you're somebody who has some sinus tension, restrictions in your sinuses, using a nasal strip in addition to the mouth tape can be really helpful for that. And I use, they're called intake strips, and they're two little stickers that you put on either side of your nose, and then it's a little plastic piece that is reusable that goes over top, and there's magnets in there. So they attach to the little metal parts in the stickers, and it opens up your nasal passage so that you are able to breathe more freely. I use those not only when I sleep, but also when I'm doing cardiovascular exercise, to make sure that I'm able to continue to nasal breathe even under intense respiratory conditions, strenuous exercise. And then that can also really help with neck pain and tension headaches when you wake up. And another reason you may be waking up with a headache would be your pillow being the incorrect height. Ideally, if you are sleeping on your side or sleeping on your back, you want your pillow to be the correct height so that your head is in line with the rest of your spine. So you don't want the pillow so large and firm that it's pushing your head up to the side if you're sleeping on your side, or pushing your head forward if you're laying on your back. And you also don't want it so flat that your head is dropping the opposite direction. So I personally use a softer pillow that is medium firmness, because I alternate between sleeping on my side and sleeping on my back. So when I sleep on my side, I'm able to mold that pillow into a good position so that it's supporting my head and my neck, and my head isn't getting, or my neck isn't getting crunched one way or the other. And that's been really helpful for me. I have a whole episode about mattresses and scoliosis. So if you want to hear more about specifics as far as whether or not it's a time for you to get a new mattress, what mattresses I recommend, check out that episode. Well, I'll have that linked in the show notes. But my final point is going to be talking about why you might be waking up with some back pain. And the first reason would be that your mattress needs to be replaced. I recommend using a firmer mattress. And that's because the softer the mattress is, the more it gives into your curves and doesn't provide you support. And I'm speaking from personal experience. I've slept on really soft mattresses, and I've also slept on really firm mattresses, and my back just does so much better when I'm sleeping on a firm mattress. The next reason you might be waking up with some back pain is because you are sleeping in a overly rotated position. So for instance, you might have your hips and your knees on your side, and then you might be laying rotated with your upper body up towards the ceiling, like more on your back. And if you're sleeping like that for multiple hours, that can add up and cause a lot of irritation. Vice versa with, you know, hips or chest rotated towards the mattress and hips on the side. And then also sleeping on your stomach could be another reason why you're waking up with back pain. So I hope that you learned a few things from this episode. Just please remember, these are just suggestions that can make your sleep experience better. This is not intended for you, intended to create more stress for you so that you're, now you're freaking out about being in the wrong sleep position. There is not technically a wrong sleep position. There's sleep positions that are less desirable than others, but you know, the most important thing is that you are getting nourishing, restorative sleep at night so that if you are experiencing pain and discomfort, you are able to best recover the most quickly from that condition that you're struggling with or that pain that you're struggling with. Helps to reduce inflammation, stress, brain fog, all the things. I think we all know the benefits of sleep. Some of these things that I talked about today, they might be a little bit less well known. I do have a, the best way to work with me and learn more about some of these tips and tricks and ways to work with your scoliosis is through my small group scoliosis coaching program called the Scoliosis Strength Collective. It is 6 months long, and it takes you from knowing nothing about your curve to being the expert in your curve so that you don't have to rely upon other professionals to tell you how to manage your curve, adapt for exercise, and live your life. If you're interested to learn more about that, you can check out my website, thescoliotherapist.com, and schedule a free discovery call to see if it is a good fit to work together on your scoliosis. That's all I have today. Until next time, stay well and stay ahead of the curve.